You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, frenetic, fresh, and frequently frenzied friends. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 260, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your perky pack of pals, pros, and pachyderms.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
Well, I got some bummer news.
Uh-oh.
I learned that I was getting laid off a couple days ago. Boo! But there's a huge silver lining. Someone at work, I didn't know this person listened to Good Job Brain, and this person didn't know I was Karen of Good Job Brain. And she reached out to me. She goes, oh my God, I listened to the show. I had no idea we worked together. And our company is pretty small. She said, well, before you leave this week, I just want to say I think all of you bring something different to your show. And I always thought you bring the heart. I think that both Chris and Colin are really good examples of how I would love my son to be one day. They embrace their smarts and keep their goofiness and humbleness. Isn't that nice?
That's very nice. Thank you so much.
That's very touching.
I was pretty calm about the layoffs. I was like, this happens. And then it wasn't until I read this message that I started crying. I was bawling. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's really nice.
Well, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot.
I have good news. Oh. I've resurrected.
Oh, you did.
The barnyard buzzer.
Hale and hearty.
Had to totally decorrosionify the battery terminal.
Did you use baking soda?
I used vinegar on a Q-tip because ordinarily I would, if this was like a Game Boy or something, I'd fully open it up and remove the battery connectors because they usually just pull right out. And these do pull out, and I spent a little bit of time trying to yank them out with not tweezers, but electronic easier kind of things.
Wow.
But it wasn't coming out, and I was like, I could really break this thing. I'm just going to go in with a Q-tip and some vinegar and try to dissolve it, and then dry it, like blew it out with compressed air, try to dry it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Pop the batteries in, and we're good to go.
It's oddly therapeutic.
I always say, I love when I find, a Game Boy at a flea market, and they're like, exactly. Oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a dollar because it doesn't work. And then it's like you look at it, and you open up the battery terminals, and they're all corroded. It's like, it's probably that.
All right, here I have a random, stack of Trivial Pursuit cards. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Chris has his rooster back, so we don't have to listen to the rubber chicken shriek.
What did somebody say? They almost drove off the road. No. They were driving. They swallowed their gum. How are the cards looking today, Karen?
One of these cards starts with what 1939 movie?
Yeah, get this.
Gone with the Wind.
Well, what's the question? This doesn't count.
Okay, this is a Trivial Pursuit silver screen. And
okay.
By silver screen, I think they mean the era of the 1920s and 1930s.
Sure, maybe okay. 1940s.
And I think that this set is a pretty old set, right? If it's the one I'm thinking, is it the silver and burgundy one,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Those are from like the 80s.
And they're specifically about like an earlier era than that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like movies from 100 years ago. Let's go.
There's going to be no Back to the Future questions in here, yeah.
Oh my God, it could be 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe not quite that old, but it could easily be 80 years old. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, so this 1939 question.
All right. What do we got?
All right.
What 1939 movie had Groucho Marx dancing an inverted Roomba with Eve Arden atop a circus tent?
Duck Soup.
Incorrect. At the circus.
Yeah.
God, one day people are going to say that about our pop culture trivia.
They will. Hopefully
isn't
I'll
that
be
sobering?
Dead.
Yeah, it's yeah. quite so. It is, in fact, quite sobering.
Here we have normal Trivial Pursuit. Blue Wedge for geography. Which U.S. state has the longest coastline? Chris, wow.
California.
Incorrect.
That's oh, nice... really?
Yeah.
I was going to say Florida.
Oh, wait. Trick question. Alaska.
Correct.
Of course. Dang it.
Yep, yep, yep.
What's the state with the shortest coastline? Oh, it would be zero because
no, no, no. Well, no,
shortest non-zero. Like, yeah,
probably Rhode Island.
Let's see.
Man, I feel like we've had this in a quiz before. I feel like we did like a longest and shortest. I mean, we've been doing the show a long time.
Yeah, it's true. We've had everything in a quiz before, but I should remember in Alaska.
Yeah, you always got to listen for contiguous and continental in these U.S. state trivias.
It is New Hampshire. New Hampshire, shortest coastline at roughly 18 miles.
That is cool. Okay. All right.
Less than a marathon's distance.
Less than a marathon. Yeah.
Hey, you could go run the New Hampshire coastline.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. What are the names of the twins on Beverly Hills 90210?
Pass.
Colin.
That is, of course, Brandon and Brenda Walsh.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
All right, next question, Yellow Wedge. Who is the pilot who successfully crash landed a commercial airline in the Hudson River in 2009?
Haha.
Chris.
Arthur Sully Sulzberger. You got the first name wrong and the end part.
Nickname, right.
Right, yeah, and then everything else is wrong. Yeah. No. What's the first name?
It's a Chesley, right?
Chesley!
What? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I should have said Sully or Sulzberger.
Chesley, nickname, quote, Sully. Sullenberger.
Oh, Sullen.
Yeah, Sullenberger. You got the nickname. You should have just said no. Sully, and we would have given you the credit. Yeah.
No.
Purple Wedge. Which author created James Bond and wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Come on.
Colin.
Yeah, Ian Fleming.
Ian Fleming.
Yes.
Correct. Green Wedge for Science. What is the name of the process that heats food and milk to kill harmful microorganisms? Chris.
Pasteurization.
Correct. Named for Louis Pasteur.
Named for Arthur Sully. Pasteur. Yes. Karen, how do you know when you're drowning in milk? When it's past your eyes.
It's really good.
It's very good, right? There have been worse ones.
Yeah, there have.
Last question, Orange Wedge. What color is the jacket the winner receives for winning the Masters Golf Tournament? Colin.
It is green.
It is green. Why did I think it's gold?
Hmm.
I think that's from Happy Gilmore.
I think you might be right, Karen. I think that's why you might be thinking that. Yeah. Is that true?
Shooter McGavin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, good job, brains. Today's episode is an interesting one. It's a special one. So today's episode is 260. Usually in a Good Job Brain episode, we have a theme or a topic. Last episode, it was all about currency. But every fifth episode, we have no theme, no topic, and we've all made quizzes. But today's a little bit different. A couple of weeks ago, we all went in person to SporkleCon, which is a trivia convention. We did a live recording of our podcast there. We played pub trivia. We played in the tournament. It was
great. We met so many fans. I mean, it was really fun. Somebody gave us a friendship bracelet. It was great.
However, our sound files from our live recording got corrupted.
Boo.
Something weird happened to it. These things happen. And so we're sad to report that we only have bits of our live recording, which we will play throughout this episode. So if you hear something that sounds like a studio audience, that's our SporkleCon segment.
They were there voluntarily.
They were.
To be clear, they were not being held captive.
One of the segments that did get corrupted was the 15-minute standing ovation that followed the panel. So you do have to imagine that in your mind.
We will have segments from our what we could save our SporkleCon live panel, along with our usual All Quiz Bonanza. This week it's All Quiz Bonanza number 52.
So So I actually did something interesting last week. There was a video game conference, and they had a panel with the creator of Tetris, Alexey Pajitnov, as well as the former CEO of the Tetris company, Hank Rogers, who, if you watch the Tetris movie, he was the character played by Taron Egerton in the Tetris movie, as well as Maya Rogers, the current CEO of Tetris. And they asked me to moderate the panel.
Oh, awesome.
So I went in on stage with the Tetris Titans, talking about the, you know, past, present, future of Tetris. Tetris is just this very unique video game because it's recontextualized how we even think about our lives. Mm. When I was coming back from the Portland Retro Video Game Expo a couple of weeks ago, the Uber driver, as he's putting the bags into the trunk, he's saying to himself, like, all right, let me try to Tetris this in here somehow.
Yes.
You know? I say it all the time.
I do that too, right, in that exact context of cramming stuff in my car.
It's like nobody, when somebody puts food in front of you, you're not like, I'm going to Pac-Man this food right now. You know what I mean? Or like, let me go Mario over that fence. Like, nobody says that. But Tetris, and universally, and importantly, like
cross-language, cross-culture, yeah,
that concept, like, to Tetris, right? And so, and then, of course, I kind of brought this up, like, as we're prepping for the panel, Maya, as the CEO of Tetris, is like, please don't use my trademark as a verb, right?
Right, right.
Because that is how you lose a trademark, if it, you know, something becomes a genericized verb. So the Tetris company would never do that. They would never use Tetris as a verb in that way. And so it is an interesting sort of push and pull. You know, that got me thinking of, we love on the show talking about trademarks, talking about how do things become a trademark, or how do people lose their trademarks when they become genericized, words that you didn't know used to be a trademark because they are so common, words that you didn't know still are a trademark even though they are so common.
Yes.
You're gonna get in trouble for using them. I've put together the trademark quiz.
I'm excited.
It's in two parts. The first part is a quiz about former trademarks that have become genericized terms.
In the true, like, legal sense, right? Okay.
In the legal sense, yeah. And then the second part is generic sounding terms that we use generically that are, in fact, still active trademarks.
Nice.
All right? So here we go. You'll just buzz in with the old barnyard buzzers, and we'll go ahead into the first part right now.
Ooh, okay.
First question. This name for acetyl salicylic acid is a generic term in the U.S., but it is still trademarked in Canada. Colin.
I believe that's aspirin.
That is aspirin. Acetyl salicylic acid. You will still get in trouble in Canada if you try to use it generically.
Right.
Yeah,
it was Bayer, right? Invented that.
They also used to have the trademark on heroin because they invented heroin too as a wonder drug.
Hey.
Wow. If I lived by the border, I'd like cross the border and be like, aspirin. And then back to the border.
You go to Canada jail. They're like, I'm so sorry. And they put you in jail. Question number two. If you need to move diagonally, you would need to use one of these, which was a trademark until 1950.
Oh.
If you need to move diagonally.
It's like is it the elevators at Luxor?
Oh, is it escalator?
Yes, it's escalator.
Ah.
Escalator was a trademark of the Otis Elevator Company until 1950.
No.
I know. Well, here's one too. This term for a hinged communication device was a trademark of Motorola until 2005. Karen.
Flip phone.
Wow. Really?
Flip phone is almost like heroin. Like, nobody's going to be trying to use that trademark anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, there's no question on flip phone, right? That genie is out of the bottle. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Another surprising one. This term was originally a trademark for solid carbon dioxide.
What?
Colin, I think, got that one first.
Dry ice.
Ah, really? Trademark?
If you think about it, it's very clever.
That
you
is
know?
Good branding. That is really good, actually. Dry ice. Yeah, I gotta
say. And it is branding. It absolutely is, because it's like, why do I need solid carbon dioxide? It's like, no. It's ice that doesn't get wet. I'm like, okay, sure.
Unwet ice.
Yep. Next question. The Ampex Corporation used to have the trademark on this term. which is often heard immediately following the words sex and lies. Karen.
Videotape?
Videotape.
Videotape.
Really?
The famous late 80s film, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
I catch myself. I still say tape. Oh, I need to tape this.
Oh, sure.
You mean record.
Yeah, every now and then I still, it just kind of just slips right out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed. this fuel, otherwise known as paraffin, was trademarked in 1854.
Well, it's wax.
Right. Is like liquid.
The way you said fuel was so interesting.
Yeah.
This fuel. Well, I'm trying to get it out so you understand what word I'm saying. You know what I mean? Sometimes those words with a lot of vowels and things like that, you kind of get lost. Yeah, this fuel.
This is not ringing a bell.
No. I'm saying it with two syllables, right?
Yeah.
Fuel.
I don't know either. Yes.
It's kerosene.
Oh.
Kerosene.
That sounds like a chemical term. Acetone. Right.
Nope. Or amino acids. Trademarked in 1854. Finally, the B.F. Goodrich Company once had a trademark on this revolutionary hookless fastener that it used on its rubber boots. Karen.
Velcro.
No, not Velcro. Yeah. Velcro, I believe, is still trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of hookless fastener. This was the fastener itself, the device that like maybe fastens or closes up a piece of footwear or possibly clothing, had already been invented, but they came up with the name for it, the trademark name for it. Colin?
This is the zipper.
It's the zipper! The zipper used to be a trademark of the B.F. Goodrich Company, which you think about as tires, but they did rubber boots. And
that's
so
right. It was like
when
galoshes.
They put one of these on their boots, they called it the zipper, which, again, it's like does sound like a trademark name when you think about it. But it's become so common that we don't think about it as we're saying somebody's brand name.
Yeah,
it originally was.
It zips. Yeah,
right.
That's what it does.
Right. It's fast.
And it's an onomatopoeia, a little bit, like zip.
But it's like you don't have to sit there, buckle all the little hook in the eye of all up your rubber boots, you know, anymore. You just zip it, like zip, you know. Okay, well, that does it for the first part of the quiz. I think we've had some surprising entries in there. And now it is time for part two.
Oh, I think you're going to blow our minds for this part.
So generic sounding terms that are, in fact, still trademarked. So here we go. Sony holds the trademark for this device, often seen in sports stadiums, although it hasn't actually made any of them since 2001. Karen.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jumbotron. It's a trademark. I find it less interesting that it's trademarked and more interested that it's trademarked by Sony. And that they have not actually made an actual Jumbotron
in
over 20 years. All right, next question. Technically, you should call the generic version of this a stand-up personal watercraft.
Oh.
What?
Colin?
That must be jet ski.
Jet ski.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder how would you describe that in generic terms?
Stand-up personal watercraft, Karen. you're not using a trademarked jet ski brand. You have to say, I'm going to go out and do some stand-up personal watercrafting.
Dude, did you see those guys out on the lake on those stand-up personal watercraft? They were just zipping around like, yeah.
They're sick.
Okay. Next one. Australians call this an icy pole.
Oh,
Karen.
Popsicle.
Popsicle is not a generic term for any ice pop. That is a trademark. The next time you're putting together IKEA furniture, make sure to ask your significant other where the hell the hex key is, lest you accidentally genericize this trademark.
Is it Allen wrench? Because it's a name.
It's Allen wrench. Allen wrench. Mm. Yes. created by the Allen Company, which is now owned by the Apex Tool Group. They created the Allen wrench, genericized term media hex. I mean, it's which is crazy when you think about it, because before they invented that wrench, nobody could put those screws in. So it's a good thing that they that they came up with that.
They just can't call it Allen wrench.
They don't have a patent on it anymore. They don't have a patent on, because patents expire. You can make one, but you can't call it an Allen wrench.
Oh, weird. Okay.
X key. Yes. All right. This term, going over to British English and also, I guess, Australian, this term for a ballpoint pen is used as a generic term in British English, even though it remains a registered trademark of Bic.
Oh,
no.
Colin?
Is it Stilo?
It's not Stilo. This is the, if you had a ballpoint pen and you're like, give me a, you know, you don't say give me a ballpoint pen if you're in England, and you don't say give me a Bic either. This is a good one to know. It is a Biro.
Oh.
Biro.
That might be what I was thinking.
Send me that Biro. B-I-R-O. It's the last name of the inventor of the ballpoint pen.
Oh.
Arthur Sully Biro. No, Laszlo Biro. Another question. All right, real trivia. Properly, this is a foot bag.
Oh.
Foot bag. Okay.
Colin.
Hacky sack.
Hacky sack.
Oh my gosh.
A hacky sack.
I was like, sock? I've been saying it my whole life.
I kind of wrote it that way with no hints, because you had to think about what a foot bag with no context. Yeah, it's like a foot bag. Yeah, sock. Very good. No, hacky sack. Hacky sack. All right. This is one from a previous Good Job Brain entire segment, but don't genericize the name of this packing material unless you want to incur the legal wrath of the Sealed Air Corporation. Karen.
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap.
I like the way people get around it. Bubble pack.
Yeah.
Or packing bubbles.
Yep, you can do all of that, but you can't say bubble wrap.
Wow.
Okay. Infant bodysuit.
Oh, I just learned this one.
Karen.
Onesie.
Yes.
Really?
O-N-E-S-I-E, a onesie, which everybody calls single piece baby clothing, right? Trademarked brand name of Gerber.
Gerber.
Wow. Gerber. I just call it a baby bag. So, you know.
Then we're in the legal clear here. Good job, Brain. Gerber's not going to come after us. Like, for some of this stuff, like hacky sack, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Sounds like a onesie?
That's a trademark. And they go after people. So, yeah.
That's part of your only defense against your losing these, right, is you have to demonstrate that you are going after people using it. Like, if you don't go after them, then they can just go and say, hey, you know, they haven't been defending it. They haven't been, right.
Baby bag's not bad.
Baby bag is good. Yep. Finally, it's the last question in this rollicking trademark quiz. Finally, my doctor was a real stickler for not genericizing trademarks, so I was forced to explain to him that I had stuck my hand to my face with cyanoacrylate adhesive. Calvin.
What?
That's super glue.
Super glue.
but don't people call it crazy glue, which crazy glue is also
That's another brand name, right?
But what are you supposed to call it?
I think they, I don't know. I think everybody, there is no generic name for it. So everybody has to come up with their own
brand name.
Super and crazy are like definitely the best ones. Like super glue, crazy glue. Then it's like, what else? Yeah.
Right. Irreverent glue.
Irreverent glue. My daughter, she had been asking for a new hula hoop because she had an old one that had gotten totally munched. We went to the shop and I was telling my wife, I was like, oh, you know, I hope they have hula hoop brand, you know, and she's like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, well, it's like only Whammo can sell hula hoop waist circling hoops or whatever, you know, the name would be.
Circles.
Yeah. Even though everybody on this planet calls it a hula hoop. Just yesterday we were at like a party supply shop getting some stuff for Halloween. And they had a bunch of stuff like toys and things on the wall. And I was like, oh, look, look, look. And I went over and it's a hip hoop because it was not Whammo brand waist yep. encircling toy. It was the hip hoop brand. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's my turn. Let's take a trip back. I will be here playing my quiz segment that was from our live SporkleCon panel in front of a live studio audience. How do I describe it? It truly is a celebration of life. Let's have a listen. So something happened just a few weeks ago to me. I gave birth to a baby. Pretty recently, now I am a mom of two, and I'm reliving those newborn days, which, yay, fun. So we hear a Good Job Brain. Obviously, we love learning and talking about animal secretions. Animals, maybe I do. Animal secretions, yes, yes, yes. We, well, of course, we have our classic beaver, castoreum. Mm. We have the bombardier beetle with the exploding butt, the parrotfish that covers itself in its snot. So it's weird, it's gross, it's interesting. So taking inspiration from those two things, here I have a quiz about unusual lactation in the animal kingdom. Nice. Yay, a quiz you didn't think you needed.
Before you get into it, we were at the California Academy of Sciences last weekend, and I had to take a picture of this because it cracked me up. And it was the California sea cucumber. Sea cucumbers are gutless in the face of danger. They self-eviscerate when attacked. This is my favorite part. Ejecting their internal organs as a distraction. And I was like, look, my intestine.
Well, they're like a tube.
I love it. I would be distracted.
Gross. I don't want to do that. Well, okay. So, yes, my quiz, I'm titling it, I just had a baby, so I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. So I've prepared some fascinating questions about lactation, milk, feeding. So Colin and Chris, dads of the year, you guys are dads. You guys might know you need to buzz in with your buzzers, classic style. So I'll cut to the chase here. I know what you're all wondering. Karen, what animal has the most nipples? Cut to the chase. I'll tell. And how many? How many could there be?
Centipede.
It's a mammal. Mammal. So clocking in at 36 nipples.
Ooh.
It is the tenric. T-E-N-R-E-C, tenric. Yes, good job, tenrics, for having so many nipples.
What is it? What is a tenric?
So it kind of looks like a less chubby hedgehog.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's my question. Tenrics are primarily found in what island nation that's more famous for their lemurs? Go for it.
Is that Madagascar?
Yes! Oh my God. Well, because of the movie Madagascar, King Julian. But yes, they're really famous for their lemurs. I had another clue, which is the fourth largest island in the world by landmass. It is Madagascar. So now let's go on the other end of the spectrum. We got tenrics with sporting 36 nipples. We have an animal group that actually has milk but has zero nipples. So what egg-laying animal group has no nipples?
Egg-laying.
They still produce milk. And like the milk just kind of comes out of their skin.
They're mammals.
They're mammals. Egg-laying sure.
animal.
Mammals. What is that group called?
Oh, the group.
Ooh, we got to
We're gonna ask the audience. Cole, you have been like raising your hand, I think, from the beginning. Just yell it out so we can get on mic.
Monotremes. Monotremes. Echidna. Uh-huh. Platypus.
I was going to guess platypus as an animal, but I did not remember the monotremes.
Animal group.
I knew that because of Phineas and Ferb, but I...
Yeah, so milk just like comes out. Huh. And like the babies just lick
it. They just like lick it off?
Yeah. No nipples at all. Okay, speaking of nipples, which actor was the first to wear the infamous Batman suit with the external rubber nipples? Oh. Which actor was it? Colin.
Is that George Clooney?
Incorrect.
Is it Val Kilmer?
It's Val Kilmer. Iceman himself.
I like that you specified they were external nipples as opposed to internal nipples. Visible.
People made a big deal. Joel Schumacher, the director of Batman Forever, which was the third of the Batman series, really wanted the nipples, thought it was cool. And then he actually was like, yeah, maybe I was wrong. But, you know, after everybody complained about it.
I picture him George Lucas style going through the sketches, nipples, nipples, drawing all the concept art, needs more nipples.
Okay, so even though technically only mammals produce milk, there are non-mammals out there that secrete milk-like substances to feed their babies. Pigeons. Pigeons make pigeon milk. Isn't that wonderful? So some birds, they have something called, it's called crop milk. Crop milk. So birds have this pouch on their throat called the crop. Sometimes they like store food in there. It's like a snack pocket. But when they're feeding their babies, it will secrete a nutritious substance so that the mom bird can feed the baby birds. Crop milk, pigeon milk.
I want to taste the pigeon
milk. You can buy it. You can buy it at pet stores. So if you have baby birds, you can like feed it to them. But flamingos also secrete crop milk. Tell me, what is unusual about flamingo crop milk?
I mean,
Chris,
it's a strawberry flavor. No, it's pink. It's pink.
It's bright pink. It's bright red, bright pink.
For the same reason is that because the pinkness in the flamingos, right? Is because they're shrimps.
Yeah.
Shrimps. Yeah, yeah. Their diet.
It's not because they're not like colored that way.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It would come out in the milk too.
You might see it in the wild and you think the flamingo's bleeding. It's like bright red. So it might get mistaken for blood. And they're like, oh my God, why are these flamingos bleeding? It's actually crop milk. All right. Another animal that also produces milk, a non-mammal that produces milk-like substances, is the jumping spider. The jumping spider also feed their baby with some nutritious substance. Can you imagine drinking spider milk? So on the topic of spiders, what legendary wrestler started out with the character called the Spider?
And
this is your beat, Chris.
It is, but it's like so many of these guys, before they found that gimmick that worked, it's like they probably did a million other crazy things and whatever.
First
was in the back.
Character.
I mean, how about Hulk Hogan?
Incorrect.
No.
Leaping Lanny Poffo.
No, it is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Really? Wow. You had the right family.
The spider.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the most expensive milk, actual milk, the expensive milk that you can commercially buy is produced by what mammal?
For human consumption.
You can buy this.
Can buy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Produced by what mammal?
I have a hint.
Okay.
It's also one of Gordon Ramsay's favorite insults.
Oh, the donkey.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Donkey milk is the most expensive milk that you can buy. It is $130 per liter, which is $62 per pint.
Wow.
Is it good?
What's so good about it?
Yeah. It's nutritious, very nutritious, and it's rare. Donkey milk cheese is the most expensive cheese you can buy as well.
Well, sure. Yeah,
yeah, well, naturally. It would follow. Yeah.
All the
finest restaurants have donkey milk cheese.
No, they don't. Now if you see it, you know it's rare.
All right. So another animal question. What animal's mammary gland is 5 feet long? Chris.
The killer whale, the orca.
No. Okay. Bigger. Go bigger.
Blue whale.
Yeah, blue whale.
Blue whale.
The gland. Yeah, the gland itself weighs as much as a baby elephant. and then how much milk can a blue whale make in a day? 200 liters. That is a bathtub. A bathtub of whale milk.
Wow.
And the milk is like cheese, curdly and gloopy and buttery. So yeah, imagine taking a bath and die. All right. Wait. I'll close it out. I got one last question to haunt everybody's minds. We've explored the animal kingdom, but let's end with us humans, the most dangerous animal of all.
The most dangerous game.
Besides the chest, what other part of the human body is capable of expressing milk?
Tear ducts.
Incorrect. Okay. Not a bad guess.
Oh,
the navel.
That's not a bad guess either.
All right, well, that's you just tell us.
It is the armpit. The arm.
Oh, I guess that is, it is closer. Right.
The milk ducts run like a V.
Right.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. So some people, I'm not saying all moms, if they're nursing or breastfeeding, their milk glands in their armpits will swell up, and sometimes milk will come out. How do I know this? We'll leave it at that.
The end.
The end. Thank you, everybody.
We're not getting asked back to Sporkle Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
Hi, my name's Avalon. Did you know the pandas poop 100 times a day? You're listening. Good job, Rain. Bye.
And we're back. This week, it's our all quiz number 52. Before we jump into more quizzes, I just want to share this trivia. We hear a Good Job, Rain love film series. It shows up in trivia a lot in pub trivia. The Pirates of the Caribbean series. Yeah, which movie is what? Who's in which one? The Lord of the Rings saga plus The Hobbit.
Which one has more movies if you add them all up? Which one has had more Orlando Bloom appearances? Yeah.
So here I have another film series that I think we should always be prepared and know. And it is the Air Bud series.
Important. Yes.
Very important.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go through the Air Bud series with the first movie, Air Bud. Where Air Bud, the dog, the golden retriever, plays basketball.
Mm.
Apparently, this dog has uncanny ability and affinity for multiple sports. So Air Bud 1, now I'm going down the series. Air Bud : golden receiver.
It's a good title. It's a good title.
You want to turn this into an impromptu quiz? Is that football?
Yes, that is American football. Yes, impromptu. It's a pretty easy quiz.
Yeah.
Right, third in this legendary series, Air Bud World Pup.
Soccer,
of course. Yes, association football.
Fourth in the series, Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch.
Wow, he's even good at baseball.
Incredible.
You know, like once they hit the third one, they're like, oh, this is great. It's just each one's a new sport. Just start working on the pun. We'll write the script.
And the official Air Bud series ends with this last film, Air Bud Spikes Back.
His Spikes Back. Is that volleyball?
Volleyball.
Oh my gosh.
I thought they might go for hockey maybe, or yeah.
They actually can't do an Air Bud hockey movie because there is a rule that says that dogs can't play hockey.
NHL had the foresight.
They thought that one through.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've only watched the first movie and I read the plot summaries for all of these other movies. Turns out this town has very loosey-goosey sport association rules. Really, this dog could play all of these sports. So that's the Air Bud series. Then, of course, Air Bud, Buddy, the dog, had a bunch of puppies. And so then there's the Buddies series the puppies, and the puppies go to space. They do, you know.
I've never heard of this expansion.
Space Buddies.
The Air Bud universe.
I saw that and I was like, oh, we should know this.
No, that's good. Because if you had to list out for me, I mean, as I just said, I would have guessed hockey for that last one, right? I mean, if I didn't have the pun title.
Now, does he get into fights? Does Air Bud stand up and just start punching the other guys in the face with his forepaws?
Does he have four skates or does he have two skates? Like, how does that? He's got to hold the stick,
right?
Maybe just that's why they didn't do hockey. It's just like they never got past
put ice skates on him.
Forget it. What else can we do?
All right, back to all quiz. Colin, you got a quiz for us?
I do. I'm excited to announce the return to the show of Brad Pitt or Lasers.
Pew, 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 pew.
Thank you for the sound effects, as always, Karen. Yes. Brad Pitt or Lasers quiz. I love to create for you guys. The format of this quiz, if you do not remember any of the previous, I don't know, three, four installments, something like that, over the last 10 plus years, I will give you a pair of things. It might be people, might be an invention, might be a food, might be a company. And your job is just to tell me which of these two came first, which is older. And so in the case of a person, this would be the date they were born. If this was the case of an invention, it would be when it was invented or announced to the public. In the case of a piece of media, it would be when it was released. So for a movie, would be release date or a video game release date, that kind of thing. So, all right, this will be a write down quiz. Which came first? We've got two juggernauts here of entertainment. The television series Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, gosh.
Or the video game World of Warcraft. Both extremely popular.
This seems really close.
Extremely long running. The TV show Grey's Anatomy by mega producer Shonda Rhimes. Mm-hmm. And Karen, I know you have devoted many, many, many hours of your life to World of Warcraft.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, answers up. Karen says, wow. Chris says, wow. You are both correct. You are both correct. Yes. Okay. We're talking a matter of months, however.
Whoa. Really?
Yes. So World of Warcraft, November 2004 release.
Yep.
And Grey's Anatomy debuted March 2005. This show, it's absolutely just incredible, the longevity of that show.
Well, I remember World of Warcraft was pre-YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
For me to watch clips of the game, I had to go to E-Bomb's World
Moving right along. Certainly a good candidate for internet's favorite boyfriend, actor Ryan Gosling. Which came first, actor Ryan Gosling or Chicken McNuggets?
Wow.
Ryan Gosling.
All right, okay.
Or Chicken McNuggets. How old is Ryan Gosling?
He's like my age.
And we've all had Chicken McNuggets.
You know, honest to God, I don't know if I am older or younger than Chicken McNugget. Like, it's always been something that we've had, but it's like, what if they invented Chicken McNuggets in 1981? You know what I mean? Or in late 1980? I don't know.
Or is
know.
It like one franchise did Chicken Nuggets and then
right? I'm gonna go with same thing. I'm gonna go with Ryan.
You have both put Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling was born November 12th, 1980.
Oh, older than me.
Chicken McNuggets.
Younger than me.
Chicken McNuggets were introduced first in select markets, but were introduced. Yeah. Chris, you actually nailed it. 1981. Chicken
McNuggets. Oh,
my God. Yeah, just
pulled. I'm older than Ryan Gosling and Chicken McNuggets. Now I'm going to crumble into dust. Bye.
Yeah, they came up with the concept in the late 70s, it sounds like. Select markets in McDonald's, of course, if the Mick did not tip you off. Yeah, select markets in 1981. It was such a hit. It was a smash hit, just huge hit. They could not keep up with the supply. Mm. And so the McDonald's corporation, they basically had to kind of hold on the wide rollout until they could get their supply chain sort of sorted
scale
out,
and
they
did.
Yeah. So released available worldwide by 1983 is what I read. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. By any measure, Ryan Gosling, older than Chicken McNuggets. Tied up here. 2 points each. Moving right along. Chris, I had to laugh when this appeared on your quiz, but I think this question is still valid. Which came first? The zipper or the teddy bear? Two legendary American innovations, inventions. The zipper and the teddy bear. Chris may have had a little bit of an advantage on this one. On the zipper,
I know. Now we'll wish I paid more attention when he said the year.
I don't think he did say the year, at least. All right. Answers up.
I did not say the year.
Answers up. All right. You have both written teddy bear. If you know your presidential history, you can kind of pin it down somewhat. Right. It is.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, of course, as you've probably heard many places, named after a story involving President Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. That term of the teddy bear as a bear for sale stuffed animal dates to 1902.
Okay.
Now I'm reconsidering.
It was a bear hunting trip that he took in November 1902, and the media covered it, and toy sellers quickly capitalized. The zipper.
Wait, so the bear is supposed to represent the bear that he hunted?
So the story, which is true, there's no reason not to believe it's true. The story is that he was on a bear hunting trip and they, you know, they were with dogs and they had basically chased a bear down and had it captive and was like, okay, Mr. President, here's this bear for you to kill. And he basically said, this is not sporting in any way. I'm not going to shoot this tied up little young bear. So he didn't. And so the story then became the coverage of Roosevelt's humanity, even being a hunter. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, the bear did actually end up being, you know, put out of his misery, but Teddy Roosevelt did not shoot this bear when given the opportunity. So there was a very famous political cartoon after this. And then a toy seller by the name of Morris Mictum saw this and was already selling animals
bears.
And was inspired to create a little stuffed bear, put it in his candy shop window in Brooklyn with a sign Teddy's Bear. And so that's generally accepted to be the origin of the term teddy bear, Teddy's Bear. Yeah, 1902. But what's our answer here? So the zipper invented by Whitcomb Judson in 1892.
So close.
So the zipper outdates the teddy bear by 10 years.
And I started looking this up because I was going to really fact check this because, as we know, zipper was a trademarked term.
Yes.
The term did not actually get introduced until 1923.
Exactly.
So then my question was, were there stuffed generic bears prior to the invention of that type of hookless fastener? And the answer is no. The answer is, for all intents and purposes, no. The teddy bear and the idea of the stuffed toy bear were simultaneous inventions in 1902. So you are right, but I fact checked it.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the real time fact checking. And I should note that the zipper, Whitcomb Judson's invention, his is the thing that is most close to a modern recognizable zipper.
Yeah.
But in either case,
what did he call it?
That's a good question.
What did he call it?
Yeah,
He called it already. Or he called it because I have the thing open. He called it a shoe fastening.
Ah. Right, it really limits you, too. I mean, what if I want to close my jacket
with it?
Put it
on my jacket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which came first? Drake, by which I mean Aubrey Drake Graham, rapper, actor, multimedia personality. Drake.
OVO.
Or RoboCop. Drake.
Oh, man.
Or the Paul Verhoeven movie RoboCop.
It's so hard to tell how old people are these days.
Which is older, Drake or RoboCop? Yeah. Answers up. You have both. You guys are in sync today. You guys have both written RoboCop. Unfortunately,
no.
Oh, gosh.
Aubrey Drake Graham is older than RoboCop. I was a little surprised. I he's a little bit older than I thought. Drake was born October 1986. And RoboCop was released in July 1987.
Oh, man. I thought RoboCop was earlier.
Same thing. That is later than I thought it was. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
The 16th highest grossing film that year at the U.S. box office, just behind La Bamba. You guys might have to just go with your guts on this one. Which came first, Scotch Tape or the NFL?
You just said Scotch Tape in a Christopher Walken kind of flavor.
Scotch Tape. Just tell me which one is older.
The Foo Fighters. Scotch Tape or, sorry, what's the second thing?
The NFL, the National Football League. We are right in the thick of NFL season. All right, Chris. Chris's answer.
NFL. Oh, here we go. We got a separation.
Karen says Scotch Tape. Chris says NFL. Scotch Tape was invented in 1930 by an employee of the 3M Corporation. The NFL, depending on how you want to count it, dates to either 1920 or 1922. Oh. Yes, yes. The original organization, which was the American Professional Football Conference, dates to 1920. They renamed themselves in 1922. Only two of the very original teams are still extant, or, you know, descendants of the two original teams. Yeah.
Which are what?
I guess this is good trivia in itself, right? So of the original teams, which included, these are kind of fun, always the old timey team names. The original teams, 1920, were the Hammond Pros, the Muncie Flyers, both from Indiana, the Rochester Jeffersons from New York, the Rock Island Independents, the Decatur Staleys, and the Racine Cardinals from Illinois. Today, only remaining are the Decatur Staleys, which morphed over time into the Chicago Bears, and the Arizona Cardinals, which were the Chicago Cardinals, Racine, Chicago Cardinals. Yeah. All right. We'll transition from there with the NFL question to a comparison with the most electrifying personality in and around the NFL these days. I'm talking, of course, about Taylor Swift. Which came first?
That's good.
Taylor Swift or Dippin' Dots? Dippin' Dots candy.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Taylor, I did a segment on Dippin' Dots, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Dippin' Dots ice cream.
Dippin' Dots, sorry, yes, Dippin' Dots ice cream snack. If you know even a little bit about Taylor Swift, you probably know what year she was born.
I don't know that.
Her album.
And I believe, Karen, at one point on a previous episode, you told us a little bit about the history of how Dippin' Dots were invented.
And then the technology of refrigeration or freezing went on to helping with a COVID vaccine storage.
It did. That's right. That's right.
Extremely cold. Yeah. It's so cold.
Oh, I see. Now, if you tell me that Taylor Swift invented Dippin' Dots when she was a baby,
I wouldn't put it
past her. Answer's up. All right, again, we're getting some divergent. Chris says Dippin' Dots. Karen says Taylor. Taylor Swift was born December 13th, of course.
1989.
You got it. Dippin' Dots were introduced in 1988. So Dippin' Dots are just a little bit older than Taylor Swift.
Not that long after the introduction of Chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, I mean, the 80s was, man.
How far we came in terms of, like, individually separated out round, unorthodox food items in just 7 years. Yeah.
And Karen, I will give you credit for this. I think you shared with us before that the Dippin' Dots technology, the person who invented it, Kurt Jones, he was actually trying to invent Kurt Sully Dots. He was looking for an improved way to deliver animal feed. So it was which I guess in a way he did.
We're animals.
Yeah, we need to eat. Which is older? DVDs or Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast.
I do some math because I know how old she is.
I don't even feel like there's a question, but okay.
All right. Chris feels very confident in his answer. Karen has written down DVD. Chris has written down DVD.
We had DVDs in the late 90s. I don't think we had Simone Biles in the 90s.
Well, Simone Biles, I think, is 26. So that makes her born around 1997.
Okay, all right.
Wow. So I really like this one. So you guys are both technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. You're both technically correct. DVDs were commercially released in Japan in November 1996. Okay. Simone Biles was born March 14th, 1997. And then the first US DVD release, notably, was Twister in March 24th, 1997. DVDs, yes, older than Simone Biles. Okay, last question. Which came first? The Apple iPad, the iPad Gen 1, or South Sudan, the country?
Wow!
I know!
I don't know.
Apple iPad.
Okay, okay, hold
on. I know South Sudan is very new.
It is the newest, in fact, the most recent sovereign state.
Colin and I actually worked on an iPad 1 launch title.
We did. Yes.
So when did we work together?
When was that? A lifetime ago. As did Dana.
I think iPad was 2010. So iPad was a few years after. I believe it was 2010. Answers up. I'm going to say iPad because that's funnier.
All right.
Because I know the year for South Sudan.
You have both written down iPad. You are correct. 2010. You're right, Chris. January 2010 for the first iPad. South Sudan gained independence from Sudan in 2011. Yes. So the iPad is older than South Sudan. Someone somewhere in South Sudan, I have faith, has a Gen 1 iPad, and they can say, this iPad is older than my country. Yes.
Wow.
victory to Chris there, but you both did very well and were right in lockstep there for a while. So yeah, I have to say, guys, I have a lot of fun putting these quizzes together. I'm tempted to rename this format Ryan Gosling or Chicken McNuggets.
Gosling or Nugs?
Gosling or Nugs. Yeah, but no, I think we'll keep it as Brad Pitt or lasers. All right, well done.
Small goose versus small chicken. Yeah.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
So our trip to, SporkleCon was not without its snags. We definitely had an issue pop up during our panel. And so we will just, we'll just play that for you now so you can see what went wrong and how the audience helped us solve it.
So has anybody gotten the chance to do like sightseeing while you're here? Because we're here in Washington, D.C. Karen and I went out and we saw the Lincoln Memorial, and we saw the Washington Monument. And by saw, I mean from the window of the car as we were, driving up here. And that's the sightseeing that I did. And so I was just thinking like, oh my God, I'm coming. I haven't been to DC in a while, but it's like, well, I'm just spending the whole thing in this hotel. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe some of you guys, maybe some of our audience members are sort of feeling the same kind of way. Like, we want to get out and see some stuff. So what I did was we asked SporkleCon to, just as a special treat for everybody here, we went ahead and set up a live satellite feed of the Lincoln Memorial so we can do a little bit of sightseeing like while we're here. We got the feed up. Feed's up now.
Oh,
so we've been going for like a half an hour, so I thought we'd all just sit in silence for like, five-ish minutes or so.
Beautiful.
It is. Oh yeah. Inspiring. We'll just watch this for a little while. And I assume that
nothing's gonna happen.
I hope you're all enjoying it.
Oh no.
Oh no. My gosh.
What is that?
Oh no. Oh, you guys.
Was that a helicopter?
Carmen San Mateo has ridden in an orange helicopter. How could you applaud this evil person? Stole the Lincoln. I had no idea it just came right off the seat like that.
It's like a big Lego. It's just a big Lego. They just pop them right on there. Yeah.
It's not secure. Well, oh my gosh, you guys. It seems like international thief Carmen San Mateo has made off with the Lincoln from the Lincoln Memorial. And I think that we are all going to need you guys here in the audience to help us get it back and save Washington, D.C. Can you do it, Sporklecon? Yes. Probably. So there used to be a show on TV that had somebody with a sort of a similar name to Carmen San Mateo. Carmen San Mateo was the Northern California version helps you out a little bit. So we don't want to get in any kind of legal trouble. So we want to be very clear. This is a distinct villain that we have to go after right now. And so what we're going to do is very similar to what you may have seen on
Southern California version.
The Southern California version show that played in the 1990s and had Rockapella. But I have some questions that I'm going to ask everybody. You've got your AB paddles still. And I'm actually going to ask these questions to Karen and Colin. I'm going to each ask them for their answers, which we have not prepped ahead of time. Wink. And then you guys are going to decide if you think that A, Colin is correct, or B, Karen is correct. And then as we get the questions right, we will hopefully, A, find the loot, the loose Lincoln statue piece.
Oh, it is loose.
It's loose.
You got any loose Lincolns?
get the search warrant, which is important, so the police can legally acquire the warrant and go search through Carmen's Florida golf club and find the... America's stolen treasure. And then we can catch Carmen San Mateo herself and get her back into jail. You may remember that she slipped through our grasp the last time we encountered her on the podcast. So this is
in space.
And so, let's go. Let's do this. So here we go. Where in the world? Where in the heck? Who in the heck is Carmen San Mateo? Question number one, audience. Carmen was seen fleeing. Get my earpiece. Carmen was seen fleeing to a city in Brazil that happens to be Washington, D.C.'s sister city. All right. Colin, what do you think?
It's Sao Paulo.
Okay. Karen, what do you think?
Brasilia.
Did Carmen go to A, Sao Paulo, or did she go to B, Brasilia?
Brasilia.
I see some A's, I see some B's, but I see mostly B's. You guys are correct. It is B, Brasilia. Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States of America, last time I checked, and Washington, D.C. generally only partners up with other world capitals for the sister city stuff. So we got Lincoln back. We got the loot, but now we got to get Carmen into jail. So let's keep going. Carmen has eluded our grasp once more. Our source on the ground says that she is headed to the South American country with the largest population of alpacas. Did Carmen head to Bolivia or Peru? Colin?
Peru.
Bolivia.
Okay. Colin says Peru, A. Karen says Bolivia, B. Looks like in the room the A's have it. And you are right. Yes, it is Peru. Great job. Approximately 88% of the world's alpacas live in Peru. So knowing this, we've all made it to Peru. We're now all in Peru. We walked up to a random alpaca and we asked them if they had seen Carmen San Mateo. And they said that they had indeed seen Carmen San Mateo in a local restaurant eating lomo saltado.
Oh.
Now, what sort of a dish is this, Colin?
It's a stir fry.
Karen?
It's a soup.
Do you agree with Colin or with Karen? A, for it's a stir fry, or B, for it's a soup? I'm seeing slightly more B's than A's. You all trust Karen, and you're all wrong. Lomo saltado is a stir fry dish of like slices of steak and French fries and other stuff. Yes. The saltado comes from the same like root as the French sautéed.
Saltado. All right, folks. I'm sorry. So we had the warrant, but we still have not caught Carmen San Mateo. We're still after her. Carmen ran out the back door of the restaurant before we could apprehend her, and it looks like she has stashed the Lincoln statue in the South American country with the longest coastline.
That's Brazil.
Chile.
Okay. Karen B. says that Chile has the longest coastline.
Wow, you guys really
Colin
trust me.
A. says that Brazil has the longest coastline. The South American country with the longest coastline is Brazil. And we had a lot of B's, so unfortunately, Carmen is still on loose. So yeah, Brazil's... So of course, everybody thinks of the Chile coastline, and it's
super long,
it's 6,435 kilometers. Brazil's coastline is really big and goes around the 7,941. So that is actually has a longer coastline than Chile. All right, well, we have only one more question left. We can apprehend Carmen. It looks like Carmen is trying to hide President Lincoln in plain sight right next to the tallest statue of Jesus in South America. What city is she headed to? The tallest statue of Jesus in South America. Colin?
I feel like I read once that is in Rio Grande do Sul.
Rio Grande do Sul? Interesting. Karen?
Rio de Janeiro.
Okay. So Karen says that the tallest statue of Jesus is in Rio de Janeiro. Colin says that the tallest statue of Jesus is in Rio Grande do Sul. Things seem pretty evenly split here. I don't feel like counting, so I'm just going to say that the people who put up A, Rio Grande do Sul, are in fact correct, and I think there's most of you there. So everybody knows about Christ the Redeemer, T-posing, right, out there in Rio de Janeiro, but there is actually a taller statue of Jesus called Christ the Protector, which is 5 meters taller than the other. They're in a Jesus off out there. Yeah. then Christ the Redeemer, or Christ the Protector, is actually taller. But that's great because enough people either knew that or figured I was doing a trick question, and we got Carmen San Mateo. Yay!
We got her.
Astounding. We did it.
And that's our show. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you listeners for listening in. Hope you learn stuff about Gosling or Nugs, about trademarks, about lactation, and more. You can find us on all major podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The History of Everything, Nature Nerds, and History Tea Time. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.